It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Paranormal UK Radio Network, the best in paranormal talk radio in the UK and around the world.
Hello, world. You're listening to Eleanor Wagner's Strange and Scary World here on the Paranormal UK Radio Network, where we're always creeping it real. I'm your host, Eleanor Wagner.
Welcome all to my paranormal closet, where the stories and magic take place. Today's guest is an author of a book on true account alien encounters. He has appeared on a number of television programs and countless interviews with networks such as BBC and Talk Sport, as well as in tabloid newspapers discussing his UFO research, which led him to unearth a conspiracy that opened his eyes into the subject of UFOs. He is convinced not everybody wants the truth to be revealed. Join me in welcoming Russ Collette. Welcome, Russ. Thank you for coming tonight.
Hi there, Anna. You're all right.
So am I to understand that you are an abductee?
That's right. Yeah, lifelong abductee.
When did this happen? And just once or how often?
No, it's been lifelong. When I was a youngster, one of the first recollections was around the age of 16. And I had a motorbike. I was quite lucky, actually. I had a motorbike bought for me for my birthday and Christmas present. And because I was starting work, I left school when my birthday, left school Christmas, and then more or less walked straight into a gym in the new year.
Okay, so you got the motorbike for a Christmas and birthday present, and you were starting to work.
Yeah. So the proviso was that I'd get in a reasonable hour and I would go to work. I wouldn't have any time off and I'd behave myself. So I'd been out that night after work, had tea and gone to a friend's home. And I thought to myself, right, I better move myself because it's getting late. So I started my journey. So I'm riding my motorbike. Can remember it was a red Suzuki ER trail bike. And I'm coming to this particular part of the road and it's going up and around this bend. And lo and behold, there's this tunnel in the road. And I slowed down because I was thinking, I can't remember this a couple of days ago. And it was a fairly big tunnel, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, it'd take quite some time to build something this big. And I'm thinking to myself, it don't fit in.
Okay, so you say that this tunnel that wasn't there before was suddenly in front of you and you were trying to reason in your mind where this thing came from and was it real?
Yeah, yeah. So as I'm slowing down, I can feel that I'm being taken in through the tunnel. Now, the next thing I knew, I was in this chair and it was like a dentist chair sort of thing. And it's quite dark and I'm looking around and there's like movement up above. I'm looking right up at heads and I realized that they were on these like dark blue uniforms and these uniforms could see like a pin. I'm looking at the ground and looking up and thinking that must be 15 foot tall. And the face looked like Nosferatu, you know, the French Dracula. Yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, no kidding. So I'm sort of like flipping neck. I had an injection in the back of my neck. And then
you say you had an injection in the back of your neck. Any kind of remnants of it afterwards that you can find a puncture wound or anything of that sort?
Yeah, I've had marks on the back of my neck.
Okay, so you had marks on the back of your neck.
Yeah. I've got marks at the back of my neck. And now I have had my jaw open and a tube put down my mouth into my throat and down. And on this tube, attached to it, was an helmet, and I had this helmet go over my head. So now I'm sat and sort of like I'm petrified.
Sure.
You know? And what happens next is that I'm sort of raised up. The old chair and everything is like raised up. And I realised that there's a row of us, and there's a few rows of us, and I'm looking down, and there's lines of people, rows of people, and in front of us, there's this big arena, and there's this big screen in this arena, and there's information coming up on this screen, and information coming up on this visor, on this helmet, what they've put on me. And it's more or less telling me all sorts of information, battle skills, happens, and about how we use these weapons, about our enemies. And I'm thinking, enemies? I didn't know I had an enemy. And it'd show you all these different enemies.
All right, so there were a whole bunch of other people that were there. And I'm assuming that you got a chance to look at them and see that they were just probably other people that were abductees like yourself. And you're saying that there was a screen in front of you and that they were showing you enemies. How did you know that they were enemies, or were they trying to just like subliminally put these into your mind, or was it kind of like telepathic communication of some sort?
No, telepathic. Although that we have had telepathic communication. Also, the reason why I know, because it says enemies, and it shows you the enemy, the image of the enemy, and what planet says the strengths. It shows you everything, the uniforms. So,
did you recognize any of these people at all?
Say again, sorry?
Did you recognize any of the people at all? The enemies and the allies?
They were all new to me, so I didn't recognize any of them. The next thing I remember, I am back on my motorbike, and I am struggling now to hold my motorbike up. And it's like at stall speed, so I'm almost falling off. So I put my throttle back and picked up a bit of speed and knocked my gear down to first gear and started off again and went round the corner and carried on. And as I'm riding, I've just gone round this bend. I'm thinking, I'm going to look back. And something in my mind saying, do not look back. But I just had to look back, you know, sort of like to see what was going on. I look back and there's nothing there.
Hmm. Did you notice a loss of time at all? Was there a space of time that was missing?
Well, I'll go into that. I'll just finish this off and then you'll understand then, you see. So I'd left my friend's house round about 11 o'clock, right? So I'm traveling home now and I'm going pretty fast, you know what I mean? Because to be honest, I'm a little bit scared of what's just happened, what I've just seen, you know, sort of like I'm wanting to get in. So I pulled up into my backyard, put my bike on its stand, and I goes and try to get in the door, and the door's locked, which is a little bit unusual because it's not never locked until they go to bed. So I stepped back and started looking up at the windows and there's no lights on. Then all of a sudden a light came on And so I goes to the door again, and I'm trying to get in. And all of a sudden, the door flew open, and there's my mum there in a nightgown and a curlers. And she's not happy.
Where have you been?
Yeah, precisely. So she says, what time do you call this? And, you know, and where have you been? And, you know, and I said, well, and I'm thinking to myself, am I going to tell her what's just happened?
You're not going to?
Well, would you? You know what I mean?
It's you know, this is your mom. You know what I mean? Like, I know with my children that they can talk to me about anything and they know that I will believe them. So I would expect my children, if something like that were to happen, that they would tell me. And we've had some very strange experiences ourselves, and they've always confided in me about them. So I'm curious why you wouldn't tell mom.
Well, 15 foot tall, alien looking creatures like Nosferatu in a tunnel that isn't there now.
Didn't exist, right?
Yeah, sort of like, yeah, I'm sure how she's going to believe me. Mm. You know what I mean? She's going to think I'm on sort of like marijuana because at that time, well, 1980,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And sort of like, I did know friends that smoked marijuana and worse. I always kept away from, I didn't even drink. I still don't drink. I look like a right beer swilling sort of like yob, so I've been told. You know what I mean? But I won't touch a drink, you know what I mean? Occasionally, you know what I mean? It is occasionally at Christmas, I might have a drink, a little drink or something, you know what I mean? But don't entertain me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she says, where have you been? What time do you call this? I said, I don't know. And she says, well, I'll tell you, shall I? She said, you said you'd get in at a reasonable hour because you've got work. And she says, you've got work, she says. And I almost said tomorrow. She said, but it's today, she said, because it's 2 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
From 11 o'clock. And it only takes about half an hour to get home from where I was.
Hmm.
So I should have been home round about.
Long before, yeah.
Half 11 at least.
Yeah.
And now it's 2 o'clock.
Huh.
There was 2.5 hours missing.
Right.
In fact, I'm not sure whether I set off that night. I think it might have been 10:30, if I remember rightly. So it's either 2.5 hours or 3 hours. Right, yeah. Missing time. And meeting these creatures and having all this strange thing happen. To tell your mum, you know, it's like, wow, I don't think she's going to be that impressed with me. Mm. You know what I mean? So there's a saying, sometimes it's best to say nothing. You know what I mean? So.
Do you know why they took you, Russ?
Not at that time, no. But if you I'll carry on if you
over
want.
Time. Yes, please
so,
do.
Anyway, so this has happened now. This scenario of me being out and being on my motorbike had happened a number of times. And I've always been late in. If it weren't a couple of hours, it were, you know, an hour later. It might be 1 o'clock. It might be 12 o'clock. But my mum says, you know, sort of like, you want to get in a little bit earlier when you've got work. So now the next time it was, this is going on a year or so now, and I've got a scooter now. So I'm riding around on my scooter and the same thing happens again. I'm in this room and there's these tall sort of like human figures with these like faces like monsters. I suppose we're not that good looking to them, I don't know. And doing all these sort of like putting an injection in back of my neck and tube down my throat and what have you, and this helmet on. The same thing again, sort of like the next thing, I'm on my motorbike and I'm riding home and I get home and again I'm late, and my mum says, you know, sort of like, I thought you were going to be reasonable and sensible and right. You know, get in. So later on now, I'm out, I've got a new scooter, a faster scooter. So I'm at a friend's house now. I'd done some training and I'd bust my knee, and really bad. And there were nothing they could do with it, really, apart from have this operation. And my friend had this operation on his knee for this, like, cartilage and what have you. And he said it were no better after he had the operation. In fact, it were worse. So I thought to myself, flipping heck. So this chap at this karate club said that it would give me acupuncture. So I met him and his wife, a lovely chap, and he says, come in and for half an hour, I'll do acupuncture on your knee. That's fantastic. So I thought I'd go see him on this night, you see. So I'm going over to see him. I'm on my scooter now and I'm going down this road. And I look and I seen something strange up on hillside near this place called Druid's Altar. And there was something I can only describe as a spaceman, a giant spaceman, walked behind this tree, and it were a massive tree, you know, like a 50-foot, you know, like big oak tree. And he walked behind this oak tree. And I could not believe my eyes. So I pulled over and I sat there looking, and then he went behind this tree, and I thought, right, so I looked around, went into the road, turned right, and went onto this estate where this chap lived, my friend. So parked my scooter up, goes, knocks on the door, rings bell, and he came to the door, and I said, all right. And he said, now then, Russ, he says, do you want to come in? And I'll put kettle on. And I says, yeah. I says, you won't believe what I've just seen. I says, it looked like a spaceman with an helmet on. I said, must have been 20 foot tall. Walked over there, I said, behind, you know those trees there, there's a big oak tree. And walked behind it. And he says, oh, yeah, you get a lot of that round here. Come in, lad.
Really?
So anyway, I goes in. I went in his house. So he said, right, he said, I'll put kettle on. He said, best thing to do is do the acupuncture first and then have a coffee afterwards. He says, sit down, and had his baggy pants on. He says, roll your trouser leg up. He said, now do acupuncture on your knee. So I'm there having this acupuncture done. And whilst I'm having it done, we're talking about what I'd just witnessed. And right. He said, oh, you know, he said, yeah, he says, we get a lot of stuff over there, Druid's Altar. He says, we've had the UFOs, spacecraft. He said, you see these strange, tall, he says, creatures. Sometimes they look human. Sometimes they're like Bigfoot. I said, have you seen? He said, I haven't. He says, I've seen UFOs and things. He said, but other people have seen things like that round here. Mm. So anyway, he'd finished my acupuncture and we sat down talking another hour. And anyway, I said, I better get off now. I says, I'll come over again at weekend. And thank you for making me welcome and this acupuncture. So I said bye to him and goes out, gets on my scooter. And I thought, right, I'm going to go a different way this time, because where this thing's happened countless occasions is at the end of this place called Altar Lane. So I thought to myself, I'll turn right and go down this dual carriageway. It's a bit like a motorway sort of thing. So I'm flying down there on this new scooter. It's a lot faster than the one that I had previous. And I look up, and the next thing, it's there in front of me again. And I cannot believe my eyes. It's there, the tunnel. This time, I think I put my throttle back a bit and I went in a bit fast. And I think, I don't know what happened, but I think there were bodies is all over the place. I've knocked them all, I've knocked them all over. Yeah. I don't think I were popular, you know what I mean? So well, like 10 pins, you know, be doing. So anyway, I'm in this chair and what have you, but it's a little bit different now. Things have changed. I think it's this time we're on my school. I'm sure it is. There's been that many. So what happens is I have this injection in my neck, but things change. So what happens next is that I'm in this room and I'm thinking to myself, where's my clothes? And I'm looking, I'm thinking, oh, are these? And there's a line of people all in the same position. So now there's like this mist all around us. And, you know, like a shower, you know, like as if you're in a sauna. It's like that. And then there's this blower and we're dry. Yeah. Then this wall comes zoom right up to us from nowhere in this room, right? And this thing comes down and these pipes, these two tubes come down. We're told to drink out of these pipes. So we're drinking and then we're told to drink more. And then all of a sudden,
this what did it taste thing, like? What was it that you were drinking? What did it taste like?
Bittersweet, sort of like water. The next thing started being sick. And we're told to drink more. And we're told to drink more. And we're being sick again. And again. And then we're told to drink the other side, the second pipe. And it was like water. We're being sick a bit more. And drink again. And drink again. And then what happened? The tubes, pipes went up. And the sluice went up. And the wall went back to, you couldn't see it, you know. And now there's this mist again all over us. And then now there's this heat and we're all dry. So now this wall comes back in front of us and we've got us lockers. So we're in line with this locker and we open this locker door and there's an helmet there and there's this. It's like a white uniform, really light, lightweight, and put it on, and it's like Velcro. And it's sort of like, as soon as you do that, it fastens. And there's like a knob at the top and one below, sort of thing. The one below has a button that goes in, though. And we're told to turn this knob, so we turn this knob round. And what happens is it starts getting tighter and it goes from white to yellow to dark yellow to dark green to blue to dark blue to black. And it's getting tighter. And on the bottoms, we've got like these boots and they get tighter. And we're in this uniform and it feels really good. So you feel really strong and powerful in this suit. Can't explain it to you. It's like, wow, unbelievable. So what happens now is we're told that never pick the rifle up and never put the magazines in the rifle unless you've got this helmet on. So we're told to put the helmet on. The reason is it's that the actual rifle is a sound weapon. So these cartridges that go in it, which look like magazines, are not bullets. They're just battery packs. And you clip one in, and then you clip, there's three at the side. So it can hold three, and one, like where the magazine goes, like a normal magazine, you know. Anyway, there's this turn, a knob that turns it on, and there's a dial to like 10. And we're told, never ever sort of like use these, fire them without the helmet being on, never, because it'll cause damage. So now what happens is we've got the rifle and it's got a sling, right, and that goes over us, and we're told now to turn to us left lockers and everything goes closed and goes back. So we're told to turn left, and all of a sudden, these things come up out of the ground, something like a crystal ball on each one, the left one and the right one, and you can see power. So now these two tube-like objects have come up from the ground, and on top of these tube-like objects, one at the left-hand side, one at the right-hand side, are like crystal balls, and the power has gone up onto these crystal balls, and now the crystal balls are powered up, and these tube-like objects or pillar-like objects go back down into the ground. And we're told to put our hands above these two balls. And what happens, this align, and it's happened to the person in front. He's touched, he's put his hands on top, and now he's gone straight through this gateway, this doorway. And then the next person, he goes through, the next person goes through, the next. So the whole line's going through. Now it's my turn, and bang, I go through. And as we're going through, on his helmet, it's telling us location. It's saying destination. And it says, then it says arrived. And it tells us where we've arrived. And it says enemy. And it's showing us the enemy, what we're looking for. And it says the enemy's allies. And it shows, and so now it tells us where I am. In his visor on the helmet, it says his destination. And then it says arrival, so we've arrived, and on this planet. And then it says enemy, and it shows us the enemy, and then it shows us the enemy's allies. So it says looking for secret base, it said. And I'd noticed something, and when we'd been walking, there was this area that shimmered. And it was just one area, and it just seemed to shimmer for no reason at all. And I just says, what's in this area? And we started looking in this area, and it was like an hologram. And all of a sudden, there was like bang, sort of like there were boulders, muck, trees flying, and everything. I was flying as well, sort of thing. We'd found the secret base, but unfortunately, they knew we'd found them. So they attacked us first. So basically, this almighty firefight took place.
The other people that were recruited as abductees with you, did you ever get to speak to any of them? Did you get to know any of them? I mean, you guys were literally thrown into this firefight. Did you know what you were meant to do? How did that all transpire?
They'd been taken, just like I've been taken. They're being abducted just the same. Now, funnily enough, I mean, like, when I'm saying my unit, which is a mega unit, not everybody's male in the Omega unit anyway. There's females in the Omega unit. So where our base is, there's like 10 of us to a room. So sort of like that's back at my base. Now, the chosen for this alien race are the women from Earth, because for some unknown reason, that, well, I know the reason, when I tell you now, you'll understand, that their top security, right, are all females. So these are like special forces, and they're all females, nearly all of them anyway. And it's because they're telepathic, and it's because that they can tell 15 minutes before the enemy turns up by their teleportation system. We travel in a teleportation system, right? Which is I would just describe how we travel. It's like that's a teleportation system, more or less.
Is it sort of like in Star Trek when they go from one place to another?
Yeah.
And please tell me, did you get to know any of these people? Have you been able to find them here on this planet that you've been on this mission with?
They found me. A couple, which isn't many. You know what I mean? To say that it's a lifelong sort of like experience. It's a lifelong life in a different world.
I spoke to Tom Martin, who's also an abductee from the Berkshires event back in the 70s. Yeah. And that was like a town that was involved in the abduction. And a lot of the townspeople were talking about it because they knew each other. But there were so many others that they didn't know. And since Tom has been featured on Unsolved Mysteries and the story came out, a viewer was watching it and saw the photographs of him from the 70s when it happened. And she recognized him. And she reached out to him and she said, Tom, I was on that same spaceship with you. I remember you. And so she told him things that nobody else would know other than somebody else who had been on that ship with him, because there were a lot of things that he didn't reveal to the television network when they were filming. He kept things back in, you know, to himself, so that when this woman came forward and she connected with him and she started talking to him about this stuff, it was only someone who had been there in that moment with him that would know these things that had happened. And so then he realized who she was and he said, were you the girl against the wall number 3 or something, like how he described who she was? And she said, yes, that was me. So the two of them were able to meet each other, having not even lived in the same town, that were abductees from the same event. So that's why I'm asking you, were you able, these people, did they come out of the blue and say, hey, Russ, I was there, I'm so-and-so? Or how did that all come about? It must be amazing.
There's been 3 people contact me over the past, say, like 5 years. But to be quite honest, there's been a lot of things happen, and where I should have been talking in some big conferences, I haven't been, because people have sort of like blackened my name, sort of thing. So I would have met a lot more people if all this silly business hadn't, you know, sort of like been on. So
do you feel like that's like the enemy at work trying to keep you from?
No, it's just
talking.
It's all
just crazy psychopaths. People.
Yeah. Crazy people, psychopaths, and little boys that dare didn't stick up for themselves, you know, which is, it's a growing thing that's happening all around the world. You know, if you believe in truth and justice, you're on the wrong side. You know what I mean? It's the world's made for weirdos.
Yeah, that is so true. It the really is a backwards world we are living in. Backwards world.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah. It's like children speak nonsense. They're allowed to go to school and learn nonsense and blat nonsense. You know what I mean? And it's like, wow. Who's teaching you this? Where are you getting this from, you know? So, like, wow. God. So if I were at school now, flipping heck. You know what I mean? But anyway, so I think I'm strange. Wow. So the thing is, yeah, there's been held back a little bit, but people are coming forward now. And the knowing that I've been out with this story, I can prove it. I've actually got to, I'm going to be putting something up on my website and stuff shortly, where I'm talking about what happened to me. I wrote this book and a bit of a film script called Through the Eyes of an Alien, Once a Human. And I finally finished it off, and it came into a book form.
Are you speaking to your book called E.T. Rider, how you're discussing life as an abductee and a super soldier fighting an intergalactic war? That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
And then your second book, Alien Invasion Whales, you discuss the cover-up, right?
Oh, wow, yeah. And it is a cover-up.
And do you say it's a cover-up by the government? Is that who's covering it up, or who is covering it up?
Well, you tell me. I mean, the thing is, we've got the police logs that this went out on television more or less the same night when the whole valley shook and there were lights. They thought there'd been an earthquake, and what people were talking about UFOs, and they were talking about this, you know.
Are you referring to Berwyn Mountain's crash landings? Is that what you're referring to as the earthquake kind of episode?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, here in the States, Berwyn Mountain's crash landings would be comparable to our Roswell, is how you described it. Okay. So go on.
Right. Yeah. But it's gone on more now because there's more witnesses come forward, and now we have a crashed flying saucer and five aliens, as well as this other landing on the Berwyn Mountains. This is just, it's in the Berwyn Mountains, but just not exactly where people were saying this happened. But when you look at the map and when what it is, I've got all the actual paperwork from the police logs and the incident room, the major incident room, right? Yeah, so we've got about 50 odd pieces of paperwork, which is most unbelievable when you look at it, because what started out at 8:38 as this earthquake, we find out somebody called in about this 6 minutes before, talking about it. Now, how can you possibly call in 6 minutes before it happened? You know what I mean? It's like, and start asking questions. And one of the questions was, is this the same area where the RAF had an aircraft up taking aerial photography the day before in the same area? Here it is. Now, the thing is, when I got in touch with this department, for British Geological Department, they've given me the runaround. I can't have the documents and I can't have the photographs, although usually if you pay something like £20, you would get the information pack, and maybe you'd be charged £10 a photograph, right? And there's a reel of photographs apparently from the aerial shots. And it were a Canberra aircraft that took these aerial photography shots, which is like a bomber, you know. So what were they doing the day before taking images of this area? Now, I'll tell you what we've found, that there was a supposed battle in the Irish Sea, and there were depth charging, and they must have hit these flying saucers that were submergible objects and hit them, and they came out of the sea and took off. And then they were fired upon, and the RAF chased them. And one crash landed. One, we're not sure what happened to it, but it was supposed to be on the Berwyn Mountains. Some people say that got taken away. One was at the side of the road, and that was supposed to have been, that was supposed to have been taken away. That's the side of the road there. That's the actual place where it came down. Obviously, that's artist's impression of the aliens and the craft.
Now, just for the listeners, RAF is Royal Air Force, correct?
That's right, yeah.
And, I have so many questions. So you have been fighting in this intergalactic war. Why is there a war? What is this fight about?
What is it usually about? Power. It's about power. The worst thing of all, what it's about, is when we were just talking on the radio about this and talking about people being abducted and people going missing. And they were just talking about people going missing in my country to the host of BBC. And I said, well, you know, you do realise, I think 160,000 people went missing last year. And they turn around and they say, oh, I don't believe it. I said, oh, well, I rung missing persons and got in touch. And they said, this is the group that basically looks into missing people in this country. And their researcher went and looked into it whilst we were on air, and they came back. She said, oh, she said, I've got some news, Russell, for you. She says, how many was it then? And so she's being a bit clever here, because the researcher says, well, she says, I've just come off of the phone. And she said, actually, it isn't 160,000, Russell, she says. The number's 180,000. This is 10 years ago. So she said, what, 180,000? And she says, yeah. Oh, well, they'll come back the next day. And I said, no, they don't. I said, because you've got to be registered 72 hours before you can even be you've got to be missing 72 hours even before you're registered as a missing person. Unless you're a child, a baby, or infirm. So, this is a big question. There's people going missing now in my country. I can tell you, last year, when I asked a certain, on my telephone, I asked a certain question to Alexa. I said, Alexa, how many people went missing in the UK last year? And I was surprised at the number of people. I was absolutely taken back at the number of people Alexa told me. In fact, just bear with me a minute, yeah?
And please tell me, what do you think is happening to these people?
Alexa, how many people went missing in the UK in 2022?
These are the top results.
Right, let me have a look at the top results here. Oh, it's just gone to a local 250,000. And I live on an island. So I live on an island and 250,000 people went missing. These numbers are going up every year.
What's happening to these people?
There's going to be no people left in my country shortly. If you
What's
keep on having
them,
250,000 people go missing every year, how many years is it going to take before there's no people left in that country?
Where are they going? What's happening to them?
Well, like I've said, I know for certain, I'm telling you what's happened to me, but you've got to decide. Am I telling, is it the truth or is it lies? Am I making up? Is it in my imagination? Or is somebody putting it there? This is a big question. So the thing is, if people around the world are saying that they're being abducted also, and we have millions, we've got millions of people in America, we've got the same in the UK, not as many, but obviously quite a number, and Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, Canada, etc. Seems to me like that they're being held somewhere, and there's like a problem, which is that some of us are coming back. Some of us that are abducted are making it back. But it would also suggest that there's people that are not making it back. So the question is, some of us are coming back, but are there a number of people that are not coming back, and why? I know on one of the last missions that we'd been called out to and gone to an underground base, and we had found what you would call people that had been captured prisoners. So there were what you would call prisoners, you would call abductees, that had been taken by this race, this what you would call Drago, dragon race, which are half human, half dragon. They're massive as well. They're like 15 foot tall. Something which I would say that a lot of them have in common is that they're all either 10, 15 foot tall. Even the blue aliens, they're 10 foot tall to start off with. But they are alien greys. Again, they're 10 foot, same as the alien blues. Yeah, you've got the ones that are sort of like 3 foot tall. There's quite a number of very, very tall, almost like giant creatures.
So as a super soldier fighting this intergalactic war, what are you made to do when you are actually in war?
Well, I'm in
battle.
The Omega unit, which is a telepathic unit, which is a scout unit. So we go out and we can sense things. But most of the people, what I've come across, are actually telepaths. But like I say, the guards, you know, look after the planet and the facility. And our base are females, and they're their special forces, because they can see this shadow that appears half an hour before the signature. It's like an heat signature in a way. And that turns up before you teleport into an area. So they know for certain when something is going to turn up, and they'll be waiting. Plus, there's other things what they can do. They don't only kill them, shoot them and what have you. What they can do is there's all sorts of things are put around this area. And basically what they do is they lock them in so that when they're teleported into that area, our teleport system puts them in, it's like a prison facility. And if they try messing about, what they're told to do is leave things alone. We'll take over and we'll put them into a prison and they'll be there. And if they try messing about and escaping, what happens is they're just killed straight away.
You say that the war is because of power. Is it like good and good versus evil?
Well, I don't know. I mean, sort of like, you know, there's a saying, and that's like, yin and yang? Black and white, good and evil. In everything good, there's something evil, and everything evil, there's something good. You've got to determine whether you're going to be the good person or the bad person. You know, but it goes down to more than this. It's about something that started, I don't know, thousands of years ago between this race of alien. And I don't even think it were races of alien. I think it was a race of alien that were fighting amongst itself. And then because of the technology, what they had, they could make other aliens and sort of like basically make allies. They've done that and they've sort of like just carried on with this war. And sort of like war's war no matter what. Don't think by any means that I'm promoting war or being a super. When I'm saying about being a super soldier, I'm telling you what's happened to me and it needs to stop. This needs to stop, because the thing is, you're just hearing me talking about something that's happened, and it's like it's a war no matter what you say or do, and not promoting it. What I'm saying is I've no choice in the matter, and the thing is I should have.
Right.
I should have.
Which brings me back to the point that these handful of people that you said that have found you and said, we've been taken against our will and forced into this war as well. Have you guys discussed that amongst yourselves and what you want to do about it or what they're doing about it or enlightening the public on it and so on and so forth?
Well, to be quite honest, it's one of these things where there's other people being promoted before us in America and UK. I only know one more person in the United Kingdom, and he has a real story, and wow, it's amazing. It's not the same as mine. It seems to come out of America, even though it's supposed to be English, and it's supposed to be to do with this Montauk area, where there's been this research facility where they've done some dreadful things to people. Now, the thing is that you've got to realise is like a secret program in America. Mine isn't the secret space program, the American one. Mine, obviously, it's a secret space program, but it's not America, and I'm not. People say to me, you can't be a soldier, super soldier, because you've not been in the regular army, and they only take regular soldiers. Well, that's rubbish, is that? Because, for one thing, any of these alien races do not want a mind that's already been altered, right, yeah? They don't want somebody who's been trained by a certain military unit. They want something fresh that they can basically mould into the soldiers that they want, and not one that's already been trained. That's the first and foremost thing you've got to remember. They don't want somebody that's already been trained as a soldier, because they want somebody fresh who they decide that they're going to fight for them.
You said that you have even gotten some of these crafts on video, correct?
Oh, hell yeah. Of course I have. Yeah. If you look on Flying Saucer Television on YouTube, and on my Facebook as well, on my group, which is UFO Paranormal TV, in that group, I usually put images up from my YouTube. I put it on, you know, sort of like, I hope I don't bore people, but, you know, for new members and what have you, every so often, I put clips up of me getting zapped whilst I'm filming a UFO with a friend in my back garden, and I get zapped, and in a split second, you can see about six or seven balls of light come down from the sky, and you can hear a click, and that's where I am behind that camera getting hit. So you can see that, you can slow it down, and you can see the balls of light coming down and coming up, like coming up towards the actual lens, where obviously I'm filming, so I'm behind that. We've got to remember, I'm behind that lens. You know what I mean? So then I filmed something called a flying man coming down out of the sky. My friend was with me on that day at the side of me when I'm filming, and you can hear me talking to him.
Where is that video posted? The same places on your Facebook?
Yeah, that's on Flying Saucer Television. Then there's another one where there's like two balls of light and there's nothing in the middle. There's no fuselage, there's no wings, and it goes overhead, and there's no sound or anything. Then my friend, I'll put his up. All this is, it's my copyright. I bought copyright from my friends when they filmed stuff. And my friend filmed a shape-shifting flying saucer. It's quite amazing. And then...
I guess it's safe to say that there is a huge variety of alien species out there.
Oh, yeah, they fly around in different types of vehicles. We fly... When we go in a craft, when we travel in our craft, it's like a torpedo. And it goes underwater. It can go underwater. It can fly. It can change. It can elongate. From 10 of us fitting in to, you know, something like 1,000 of us. Usually, they won't only call Omega in, they'll call the other units in, Alpha and Delta, sort of like to come into a battle. If it's a big battle, which is not good, that isn't good that when that happens, because that means it's all out war.
Mm.
Yeah. But there's triangular craft, There's the balls of light would travel in between. That's when we're using the teleportation system. So,
well, it would explain why people see so many different shaped things when they're describing sightings. It would explain.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. There's triangles. There's things that look like diamonds. There's things that look like tubes. There's squares. There's some images up on Flying Saucer Television also of like a pyramid in the sky and a box. And it's just, it's in pitch black. And there's, you can see there's these balls of light and they light up. You can hear fireworks in background because it's in November, but it's not fireworks. But, you know, that's something I always tell people. You know it's not fireworks. You can tell it's not, you know what I mean? But that's one bad thing. Sometimes at that time of year, if you catch something amazing and it's just people letting fireworks off, automatically, what do they say? Oh, it's fireworks. You know what I mean?
Why do you think that they're taking all these people hostage?
Well, I can tell you now, because there's something going on which is just the same as on this planet. There's slaves. There's a slave race, and they're selling people to work on different planets. Some are outside of our solar system. Luckily, I haven't been to any of them because I think that would have killed me off. I don't think I'd have been. I think I'd have still been there, if you know what I mean, because of the travelling. But I think some of these people are taken, and they're taken for all sorts of slavery. And there's women taken, so I should imagine there's some kind. Not know for certain. There's some kind of like sex slave, you know.
Oh really?
Oh hell yeah, yeah. Some people would argue and say that there's also they want food as well.
Food,
yeah.
Oh,
so that's awful. It is. And the thing is, what I'm trying to come across, there's this young woman doing the rounds now, Eisenhower's granddaughter, talking about how her granddad was supposed to have done this deal. Well, I think I'm going to have to, I've got a radio show, a TV show sort of thing, podcast. And it's something that I'm going to try to get her on my show and say, what is it then? What is this about then? Did he sign up? What did he sign up to? Because right. it would be good to find out exactly just what her granddad signed us up to, because he had no right to sign us up to anything.
Exactly. I have a question. Did you ever end up telling your mom?
Pardon?
Did you ever end up telling your mama?
Yeah, of course I did.
She you did?
Knew. Yeah, she knew. She was a smart cookie. She knew what had happened. And especially when she was in hospital with me, when it all came out, what had been going on. Because what happened on one occasion, all this had been going on, and I was in my bedroom, I was listening to Monsters of Rock on a tape, and my bedroom wall, it turned black, and these shadow people, these shadow beings walked through. And one of them were talking at me and telling me, you're going to do this, you're going to, and I said, no, I'm not. I'm not doing that. Oh, you're going to do this. I'm saying, no, go away. I'm not doing that. And what happened, I had some kind of breakdown. I had a pretty good job. I had a fantastic motorbike. I went out with my friend and, you know, sort of like, and he disappeared with me one night as well. And it caused a big argument because he told me that we went home one way on my motorbike, which I was riding. And I said, no, I went this way. And I should know. And I said, well, I should know because I was riding the chopper. Right. So I should know. We didn't speak for weeks. He thought I were taking a rise out of him. And what it was, it was scared stiff. So at the end of the day, we'd fallen out. We didn't speak for weeks because I'd realised that something had happened. Not only had I been taken, I think he'd been taken, but he didn't want to admit it.
Mm.
Right. So anyway, on this particular night, I was listening to Monsters of Rock on my tape deck. These things came from my bedroom wall, and they were telling me I was going to do this. I was going to and saying no, I'm not doing that. And it was, I'll tell you exactly when it was, because I've got my medical reports here. So it was 2nd of August when this happened, and it was 1990, and I went downstairs, and Stormy Norman had just taken Kuwait. I did not go back upstairs for 3 days. My mum had 3 days off work. I was in a mess. Right, yeah? I was in a mess. And nobody could understand why, what were up.
Mm.
But this was contact. And the same time as that happened, this was 1990, it was one of these things where there'd been an incident with the tall blue aliens and the Chinese, and one of the craft came down, a flying saucer or a flying triangle had come down around Kuwait, around that area. And so the thing is, there was a school of thought that said that there were things going on. And the reason why we got into a war in the Middle East was because of some alien technology that they'd got their hands on. And the Americans wanted it. And so did the British.
And hence there was a fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Again, like in Russia now, you know, it has been said 3 years ago when I were over there and I were telling people, you know, what had happened, and we'd lifted somebody, we'd offed them over, you know, on the borders of Russia. And I think I told that on a radio station 3 years ago. And what is it to do with technology? Sometimes people come across technology. Sometimes they stumble across it by accident. Sometimes a government falls, another one rises, and they realise that they've got something that they didn't know what they had. And then they find out about alien technology, and sometimes they want to let people know. They want to let the world know. And sometimes the big boys won't let them know.
Mm.
And so war breaks out. So it's like it's all made up. Sometimes that war is just a farce, just to keep certain people that have found out the truth to basically kill them. Mm. You know, make it look like they've come under attack by a renegade state or whatever, and then get rid of them, because it's a case of they're not playing to their tune. And this is what it's about. You know, this is the problem. It's not only the aliens. It's a case of what's happening on this planet. It's what's happening on this planet, and it's a case of, well, you've got to remember, in America, right, you in the White House, you might have 3 different factions that are friendly with 3 different alien races, right? So it's a case of, where do you go from there? Because they're all wanting something from us, from this planet, and this planet or this government or these companies that are too close for comfort to governments, these businesses, which shouldn't be. The government should never be in bed with a company or a business.
Many, many, many people have said the technology that we have today, having made like these little computer and these little phones, is something that we did not devise and learn ourselves. We were given that knowledge to figure it out. So it's what not for? Something that we came up.
Again, we're going back to Eisenhower. What did Eisenhower give to this alien race, right, yeah, to make them invincible? Because let's be honest about it, they're invincible. They spent how many years? 70 years doing what they want on this planet. Getting away with whatever. Because that's what it sounds like to me. So what could they possibly have? What the government needs? Well, obviously that's one thing, and that's technology. Better technology. He who has the best technology, usually it amounts to weapons. He who has the best weapons is in charge. But at what cost? What were we paying the world? Because, I mean, this country is ruled by America, no matter what anybody says. My country can't do anything without the say-so of America, really. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
So we've got a superpower and this country that basically have given away something, but what? What has it mm-hmm. given away? There is a big question mark. Has it basically given this alien race people, a quota of people that it can take every year for technology? Now,
interesting.
You know, if it has somebody, that's a lawsuit, isn't it? If somebody's turned around and given people away to an alien race, and what have they done to the people? Like we said before, all these people going missing every year. What's happened to them? And there's more than me have turned around and said that they've been useless slaves. What am I, a slave? I'm a slave. If I'm a super soldier, I'm no more than a slave.
Right. You're just a free slave, where they're not.
Oh, no, not free. Not free at all, because, you know, if I were free, I wouldn't be going backwards and forwards.
Right, but the sense that I mean, compared to them, they can't come and go as they please. At least you can still be here where they're not. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but when they're one.
You don't think so?
You know, when they're one, I'm free to be here and what have you, but it's still the same. I'm still a slave. There's, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been called a paid assassin. No more, no right. less from some people. You know, I wouldn't want to think myself as that whatsoever. This is what I'm trying to put across to people, that this should never happen. It shouldn't happen to anybody. Shouldn't be put into this situation.
No.
Yeah, that's not me. Fun like having a laugh, like motorbikes, going out and sort of like, used to like going fast and what have you. I mean, motorbike, I used to love motorbikes and building them, but all that was mad because I had this illness and sort of like a lot of pain and what have you. So one of the things, there's so many things, other things as well that's happened, which I forget about. I was with a friend walking through a cemetery and I could see these shadows on this 10-foot wall, which were the Jewish quarter in the actual cemetery, where just below where we used to live. And we would cut through this cemetery to this estate. And my friend, cousin lived there. And she said, I just want to go pick something up from her house and we'll go back up. So we're all walking through and I see these shadows and I wasn't comfortable. And I says, right, come on, last one, back to the cricket club, has to pay for a round of drinks, just joking. But I said it and we started running. And I said it because I could see all these like shapes on this wall. And there looked to be about 10 people around. And I'm thinking there's only me, her friend, and two of my mates. So like there's five of us all together, which two were, you know, like young lasses, young women, you know. So I'm thinking if there's 10 people here, what are they doing? You know what I mean? And I wasn't comfortable. So we ran and I stopped. And my friend, she turned around. And that was the last I seen of her. The next thing, I walked over the road into cricket club grounds. And she was crying. And I said, what's wrong? And she says, where have you been? I said, how do you mean, where have I been? She said, you've been missing for about half an hour. I said, I'm just walking up. I said, you know where I've been? I said, I'm just walking up cemetery. She said, I thought that thing had taken you. She said, it took you. I said, what thing? She said, there was this tall person behind you. She said, it was huge. She said, tall-wise, you know, again, about 15 foot towering above you. And she said, it took you. She said, you disappeared. That's in my book. She talks. I was only talking to her a year ago about this. And it's funny because something happened. A flying saucer landed on top of, it was like this private school, a bit like a castle. And there were reports in the newspaper, in Telegraph and Argus, that this flying saucer had actually landed on the roof. And that was around, again, around the same time as all these strange happenings that were happening to me, which had started in 1980. You know, like I say, when I was on my Suzuki trail bike and carried on. And I was talking about being abducted and about... I ended up in this... I'll just show you. With it being a radio, you can't see this, but this is the room. That's the alien race at Takers.
They do look like Nosferatu.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, they've been cut down to size then. Because they decided to fight, yeah, the race of aliens made them like 6 foot tall sort of thing. Because they were fighting, you know, with humans. And, you know, so, well, I should say we're fighting alongside them. Because they're all like scientists and things in their race. And they didn't believe in fighting, you see. They didn't believe in fighting. So it were a bit of a slur if you decided to fight, you know, with us. So they made them sort of like so that they knew that they were like, you know, you could tell, obviously, they were aliens by looking at them. You've seen yourself that they're aliens. But they made them, you know, like, I suppose, as well, that they fit in better if they're the same size as us in regiment. We'd be looking at them like that all day, wouldn't we? You know what I mean? But, yeah, so where it all started from, I dread to think. But, I mean, there's so many different species. There's, you know, alien greys, alien blues, greens, tall, smaller. There's ones that look human, the Nordics. There's some that look like African, like Aborigines. You don't hear of them much. I've seen them myself. There's things that are like with bull's heads. There's like these race with like bull's heads and one with a horse's head. You know?
So I imagine like when creators of movies have these alien visions that they create for the public, they're taking it from true stories and building upon that, because the things that you're describing to me, I've seen in all sorts of movies.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Something which is totally wrong, though, which always gets to me, which is when people talk about, oh, you know, time when he was abducted, because a lot of the abductions and people that have been taken, if you have a look back in the 50s, been taken in daytime. You know, so it wasn't until Whitley Strieber's book came out, Communion, that people started talking about this sleep paralysis and waking up at night time and stuff. Before that, it was totally different, you know? If you have a look,
boy, this has been really fascinating. I could talk to you for hours. I'm going to have you back on the show. But before we close out this episode, please go ahead and let everyone know how they can find all the information on you, such as where to find your books, where to find your own show, UFO Paranormality. That's how you pronounce it, right?
It's UFO Paranormal TV.
Paranormal TV.
Yeah, that's www.UFOParanormalTV, and there's you can find us on Flying Saucer Television on YouTube, and I'm Russ Kellett on Facebook, and I'm on Skype as RJ Kellett. That's me holding a video camera. If anybody wants to Skype me any information or anything. And RJ Kellett at btinternet.com is my email address.
And your books are available on Amazon, correct?
That's right, yeah. E.T. Rider is on Amazon, and so is Alien Invasion Wales.
Wonderful. We've got to look those up. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm going to keep in touch with you and have you back on again.
Well, thanks for having us on your show. It's been fantastic.
I love the conversation. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's been a great show. Thank you very much for having me on.
And if you listeners like listening to this week's episode and you're into all things paranormal, check out my other show, Eleanor Wagner's Creepin' It Real podcast, out of the Coast to Coast Entertainment Network, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. And if any of you are interested in reading any of my books, you can find the links to them on my website, AuthorEleanorWagner.com. I write about the history of the town and location, add the paranormal story to the mix, and finish it all off with photos and evidence.
Ghostly listeners, you can follow me on my website, AuthorEleanorWagner.com, where there are links to my books and video updates and photographs from investigations. Thank you, paranormal enthusiasts, for tuning in today. I hope you'll come back again. Remember to tap into your own gifts. Everyone has them. And in the meantime, make sure you're creeping it real.